We're continuing the series in Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, and we left off, excuse me, I will turn the mic on now, we left off at the place last week where Jesus was mourning the death of his beloved cousin, John. John had been murdered, if you will, by Herod, and his disciples, John's disciples, took his body, buried it, and they let Jesus know that his cousin was now dead. And this really hit Jesus. We see right there that he hears the news, and immediately he goes to a desolate place to get alone with God. We see that over and over again, don't we? In the Gospels. You think after 6 years I would know how to do this. And yet it seems like a new thing every Sunday. My wife says that to me about some things in the household. All right, so Herod has killed this wonderful John the Baptist, this Elijah who was to come. And it's hitting Jesus, this grief of that, in a powerful way. So he gets alone to a quiet place. But, you know, the thing is with Jesus, he has a hard time getting alone because the people are running after him. They find out where he is and they follow after him. And this is where we pick up the text, beginning in Matthew 14, verse 13, and on to 22. So when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the various towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said, "A blessing." Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. This is the word of the Lord. It is so remarkable to me that Jesus, in the midst of his own grief, in his own desire to get alone with God, is willing to put his own needs aside for the sake of the crowds. He saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them. He had pity on them, because they were like a flock of sheep that had no shepherd. He also had compassion on them because he saw that they were wretched. That's the Greek word here. That they were broken in body and in soul. And Jesus came to rescue. And Jesus came to heal and to love. And he himself said, "I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep." Do you see here, even in this moment, the compassion of Jesus is compelling him to lay down his own needs for the sake of the needs of his sheep. What a beautiful picture. And I know, my brothers and sisters, that each one of you have experienced this compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, this pity. It says here in the scriptures that he healed them. I wonder what that was like. I wonder, as they came to him, and as his power was manifest in all manner of diseases, of evil spirits, of paralysis, of death, of blindness, any number of things. And we've talked about that fact that Jesus, as the Messiah, would be this wonder worker. All through the Old Testament, the prophets would speak of the one who was to come, the anointed one, and that he would be powerful in his healing ministry. And Jesus is laying a foundation in the lives of these people by touching them at their point of need. Glenn and I were missionaries in the Philippines, and we would hear it often said, as we would work with people who were living in utter poverty, people who had access to no clean water or sufficient food or certainly health care, that you can't just come into a community and in the midst of all of that despair start handing out tracts and say, Jesus saved you. That's true. Jesus can do that. But how often is it more true that people need to know that you love them? People care more about knowing that you love them. And they will listen to you when you extend that kind of grace to them to meet them at their point of need. And I think that's the model of Jesus right here. And he meets them in powerful ways. Now, he's ministering all day. Because after all, there are thousands of people. Some people estimate that if you include women and children, there might have been a crowd of 12,000 people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? And if Jesus is ministering and healing to each and every one of those families, it's a very time-consuming job, and it's also probably very draining. So we see that Jesus says to his disciples, we need to feed these people. Of course, after the disciples themselves have come to him and said, you need to send these people away. The hour is late. It's getting dark. Send them to the towns and villages so that they can get some food. And what does Jesus say? No, we're not sending them away. You're going to feed them. Can you imagine the laughter, the riffle of laughter that must have come out of the mouths and the bellies of these disciples? Yeah, right on, Jesus. Really? Are you serious? We're going to feed them? In another rendition of this very same miracle, and this miracle is one of the few miracles that is recorded in all four of the Gospels, the disciples say, 8 months of salary, if we had it, would not be sufficient to buy the food for these people even to get a bite. And Jesus says, what do you have? In one rendition of the story, there's a little boy, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. In this particular text, Matthew chose not to mention that there was this little boy who had this. The disciples search around and they find that there are 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not a lot of food when you think about it. And we've talked about this recently, about this apparent impossibility, this utter insufficiency. But little with God can meet the impossible. Haven't you experienced that in your own life? I know you have. Where you have been drained and you have been spent, if you will. And even as we sang in one of the songs, he will lift us up on wings as eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not grow faint. They that wait upon the Lord. It's a conditional phrase. He's asking us to wait upon him and to trust him. And the initial response from the disciples is like, what? This is crazy. We need to just send them away. But Jesus has a greater plan. Because, as we've talked about in the book of, in this gospel of Matthew, Matthew is comparing over and over Jesus, the Messiah, to Moses, and indeed that he is the greater Moses. Now, in the land, in the wilderness, and don't forget here, the context is a wilderness. In the wilderness, the people of Israel cried out to God for food. I guess they had run out of their supplies of their unleavened bread, their matzah, from Egypt, and they needed sustenance. And God provided that in the wilderness. He provided manna, Incidentally, the Hebrew word manna, ma-na, means what is this? What now? Because God gave that food and they were confused. And then they went out and they picked it and it was sustaining and it was tasty. It tasted like honey and coriander seeds. And it was sweet to their mouth. And they were grateful to the Lord for the provision. Now, mind you, after 40 years of manna in the wilderness, they were like, can't eat this stuff anymore. And isn't that so true? I don't know about you in your life. You know, God's provision in our life, and then we start to kind of take it for granted. I think the Lord wants us always, every day, to live in that expectancy of the Lord's provision in our life. God cares for us, and He is compassionate. He provides for us by being present to us. Jesus is with us. He is not far away. He is amongst us, and He wants to feed His people. And so He does. So He directs His disciples to tell the crowd to sit in groups of 50 and 100 on the grass. And then He takes the bread and the fish, and He prays a prayer, a blessing. The scripture says. Now, the Jews have all sorts of beautiful blessings for almost everything in their life. And of course, Jesus spoke Aramaic, not Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew too, because He was able to open the scroll and He was able to read the scroll in the synagogue. So Jesus spoke Hebrew, and Aramaic is a derivative of the Hebrew language. And so He's praying this Hebrew prayer. I can just imagine it. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Hamelech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Blessed art thou, O God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. He's giving all the praise to God, all the glory to Him. And this greater Moses is providing meat and bread in the wilderness to a hungry people. Can the Lord really provide meat and bread in the wilderness? Kyrios, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And here we see Matthew is pointing to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God, that He is Adonai, that He is the Lord, and that He is able to bring forth meat and bread in the wilderness. And so He does. He breaks the bread and He hands it to the disciples. Don't you think that that is an interesting action on the part of Jesus? I love that. That speaks to my heart. Because God is the provider of all things. But in this moment, He's giving the bread and the meat to the disciples and He says, you feed them. Remember He said, you feed them? And now He's enacting that. He's giving that to them. James and John and Peter and Andrew and Nathaniel and Thomas. And they're taking it from Him and they're going to these groups of 50 and 100 and they are feeding the people. To me, I see a principle in there. Jesus is present to His disciples and He is present to those people. But Jesus is no longer with us. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. But one of the things that Jesus is doing right now is He is our high priest and He is ever interceding for us, His disciples. And one of the things that I believe that He is interceding for us for and praying is that we would provide the living bread by the grace of the Spirit, to a hungry world. Any person that you meet, as you walk your path of life, you have an opportunity to share the hope of the gospel with them. And I pray that you would do that in winsome ways. And I pray that you would pray before that. Say, Lord, show me the people that you want to share the good news with. We have a hungry world that is literally dying for lack of the sustenance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has entrusted that responsibility to me and to you and to each one of us. That is our job. And I pray that we take that job super, super serious. Jesus, the compassionate one, is present to this world through us, the hands and the feet of Christ. It's been said, the only Bible that some people may be reading or able to read is you, because we are living letters. Do you not agree? We are living letters of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people read us. Let us be the type of people that God has called us to be as we share the good news of the hope of the gospel. It says there that at the end, after everybody had eaten their full, which is kind of a reference to the disciples' lack of faith, you know, almost a year's salary isn't going to be enough for these people to have a tiny little bite. And the scripture shows us that Jesus is the God who gives in superabundance. Everybody ate to the full. And the proof of that is that there are 12 baskets left over. Now, some people say that that's Matthew's kind of code talk for sustenance for all of the people of Israel in terms of the 12 tribes. Some other people have said that that's evidence to the disciples themselves. Each of them got a little brown bag, so to speak, a little basket to eat as they crossed the Sea of Galilee, but also as a reminder that God is the God of superabundance. And He's calling us to have faith and to trust in Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. So let us be that kind of people, my brothers and sisters, as we leave this place on a Sunday morning, that we have filled in our hearts a desire and a longing to feed the lost and the hungry with the Word of God. Thanks be to God.